This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. The future will be different if we make the present different. So writes Peter Morin, a Catholic writer. And we know that intellectually, but it's a little harder to get it in our souls. The future will be different if we make the present different. So how do we do that? Well, today's gospel pretty much is what this man is talking about. How we make the present moment different, so that our future becomes more and more healed and whole in Christ. When Matthew wrote this gospel, Jerusalem had been destroyed. So this is way after Jesus had died. It was at the end of the first century, and they were trying to form a new community. Everything that they knew had been destroyed. The temple, the land had been taken. They had moved to different cities, and they were trying to regain their identity. And so those people who were Christ followers wanted to set down some different ways of living that would be for Christ followers, for Christ followers. And so we've been hearing about them the last several weeks. And one message that appears just before this one that we didn't hear last week, it's in between last week and this week, is that if there's 100 sheep and the shepherd loses one, you know this story, right? He leaves the 99 and he goes and finds the lost shepherd. He goes and finds the lost shepherd. Never, never gives up on us. Never gives up on us. And then right after today's message, next week we're going to talk about the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. When his disciple came to him and said, "How many times do I have to forgive this person that keeps bothering me?" And he said, "Not once, but 70 times 7. In other words, a million times if that's what it takes, again and again and again. So today's message is like, it's like conflict resolution 101 or emotional intelligence 101 according to the followers of Christ. So he's saying if somebody offends you, does something really wrong in thought, word, or deed to you, and you know about it, the very first step is go right to that person. Go immediately to that person and settle the dispute. And how many times do we have the courage to do that? If you're like most people, we go and talk to 100 other people first. If we ever do go back to the first person, because we don't want to offend them. And yet, that's the message here. We go directly to the person involved first. And if we did that, all the rest of the steps probably wouldn't need to happen. And nobody else would have to be involved in all of our stuff. So that's the first step. Go directly to that person. If that doesn't work, then in order to keep... Now he's talking about the church community or their following of Christ. They didn't really call it church yet. But it was this community dedicated to love. And so they said, if that doesn't work, then take a couple members of the community with you. Talk to them and take them with you if you're afraid, like a mini intervention kind of thing. And if that doesn't work, you get the whole community involved. Now, this would be an amazing community, right? If that really could happen, if that many people could go to someone in love and bring them in and say, "Look, this is what's going on, and we love you too much not to tell you about it and ask for some amendment here. And to be willing to look at ourselves to see what our role in this is." So if the first two steps don't work, then that's what you do, he's telling us. You bring the whole community together. And then finally, and this one can be very much misunderstood, the last one is that even if that doesn't work, then you treat that person like a tax collector. Someone who breaks the law, in other words. And some people have interpreted that to mean you kick them out. You just kick them out of the community. Well, in thinking about that, I'm trying to remember, what would Jesus have done with the tax collector? What did Jesus teach that you do with the Gentile? What do we hear right after this gospel? You forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, and you look for that lost sheep, no matter what. If you treat them like a tax collector or a Gentile, it means you've got to get really, really expansive in your love. In your love. And sometimes that's tough stuff. Because sometimes love means that you do have to separate someone from a community. Sometimes people really do need to have a major intervention and be taken to somewhere where they can recover and then be welcomed back into the community. Sometimes people really do need to go to prison for a little while and then come back into the community. This is the message and the feeling with which Jesus was speaking. And now in Matthew's interpretation, they're still trying to pick this up because they thought Jesus was coming back right away, like because Jesus kept saying that, and a lot of people believed it, right? Within a few years, if not minutes. And now this community, after waiting and waiting and waiting, is realizing that there's really not a timetable here. He may not be coming back as quickly as they had hoped. So they said, okay, well, let's gather our resources. These are the rules for how we're going to interact if we're really calling ourselves Christ followers. Kyla McClurg, who I've quoted before and just love, has a take on this when she says, if the first three steps are unsuccessful, then go all out with the ultra deluxe package. Treat the offender the same as I've told you to treat a pagan or a tax collector. In other words, treat the offending person as one of your friends whom you love as much as yourself. It is as simple and as difficult as that. It's radical teaching. It's not easy, this following Christ business. It's not easy. This is not a license to exile anyone, nor should we be reading it that way. The rest of the world writes people off when things reach a certain point, but not Jesus, and not the followers of Christ. We are to forgive and to heal this planet. And to remember when we gather in the name of Jesus, this comes right after this teaching, that whenever we gather, two or three are gathered, then Jesus is there in a very particular way. Meaning that power of the Holy Spirit, that power of God's love is going to be in that moment helping us when we declare it in the name of Christ. And that's the mystery. And that's the faith. And when we practice it, you see it again and again and again. Because I'm here to tell you, I've experienced it. It's amazing. Because things happen that you know aren't of your doing. And it takes humility. We are woven together in this life. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. In South Africa, Desmond Tutu called this Ubuntu. I am because we are. I am because we are. We exist together in this world. And our lives are interwoven in a million different ways. I heard a story the other day at a clergy conference, a very courageous priest that I know who gave me permission to tell this story. He's in recovery, and he has no problem talking about it. And he said the church saved his life. Now, when I use the word church here, think community like the Gospel of Matthew is talking. He was an alcoholic, still is an alcoholic, and he was active in his drinking and messing up all over the place. Someone from his church went to him directly, didn't do any good. A couple other people went to him directly, didn't do any good. Then several people in the vestry went to him and talked to him about it, and it still didn't do any good. And so the leadership of our diocese, in their wisdom, You know, sometimes the church gets it right. Sometimes we really mess things up. But in their wisdom, they went to his office. They had arranged a major intervention, arranged for him to have treatment. I said, you're coming with us. You're too valuable. And they made him come right then. And they had another priest to take over his duties. And I'm happy to tell you, that was 20-odd years ago. And he's now a rector of a really vibrant, wonderful parish. That's how this community thing is supposed to work. That's how this church thing is really supposed to work, if we get it right. So we're going to do something a little bit different as part of this sermon, and it's going to bleed over into the prayers as well in a really beautiful way, I hope. And it starts, though, with us taking a look at our own actions. And I'm going to lead us in just a little prayer of confession and the assurance of forgiveness. And then I would invite you to experience prayer in an active way. We've done this once or twice before. There'll be three stations, and there'll be music playing. If you choose to sit in your seat and just pray quietly, that's fine. One of the stations is you can go over here to the Lady Chapel and light a candle and pray over here if you'd like. Another station is here in the front with the strip that you were given. You write a prayer for someone on the strip, or a symbol if you don't want to write it out. God knows your heart. So you write it on here, and then you weave it horizontally through the strips that are here before you. So that in the end, when you come up for communion, you'll see how our lives are woven together. So that's another station. You just come, and you don't have to wait in line. Several people can do this at the same time. The third station is over here, and it's called Braided Lives. And on it, you'll see, draped across the top, strips of embroidery thread in three different colors knotted at one end. One color represents you. One color represents someone for whom you would like to pray or a situation that's difficult in your lives. And the third color represents God. So Savvy and Jennifer will be over to help you, and you'll take one of these strands that's knotted already at one end and a piece of tape, and you tape it to a hard surface in front of you or somewhere in the church you'd like to go, and you braid it. And as you're braiding it, you pray, knowing that God's love and God's presence is weaving in and out of that relationship, and asking for God's presence and enlightenment and healing to be present within that situation. And then when you finish braiding it, you knot it at the other end, and you can either lay it on the table, or you can take it home or make a bracelet, whatever you want. So I invite you now to enter into this prayer time, and we begin with our own confession and our own taking a look at anything we need to be rid of. And we let that go and thank God for divine replacement. Let us pray. Thank you, most holy Creator, making us in your divine image and giving us free will. We ask for your forgiveness for anything that has not been of you, not been of love. And we release it and give it back with blessings and thanksgiving that it may be healed. Christ, we are sorry. And we thank you, God, for your indwelling presence and divine replacement in our lives, always loving, always forgiving.